It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Every Thursday we read from your letters. This week, Sandy Tolan's report on hatred of the U.S. in the Arab world provoked many comments.
Sumita Pawa of Baltimore, who's a graduate student studying Islamist movements in the Middle East, was very grateful for the report and writes, "It presents a more nuanced view of politics in the Middle East than the wild-eyed fundamentalist story one hears on most TV stations. You've saved a lot of us the effort of trying to give people a five-minute crash course in the origins of Islamist movements."
Wallace Marshall of New Haven, Connecticut, thought otherwise. He writes, "I find it actually quite interesting how educated and well-spoken Arabs can be so blunt in blaming the West, and the U.S. in particular, for virtually everything that's wrong in their lives. If the disenchanted intellectuals in Jordan or Egypt are looking for someone to blame for the unfortunate economic and technological status of their nation, they need look no further than their local mosques."
Cliff Burke of Bonita Springs, Florida, has heard references to last weekend's peaceful transition of power in Kabul. He says, "I would not describe the removal of the Taliban, with 45 days of intense American bombing, as peaceful. I would also not describe the pounding of the Al-Qaeda stronghold Tora Bora as peaceful either. This grandiose exaggeration only feeds the hatred and contempt the Arab world has for the West. We have given the terrorists and Osama bin Laden all they could have asked for."
Listeners Nora Bredis and Jack Huttner of Pittsford, New York, heard our story about the decline in manufacturing jobs and found it, in their words, objectively informative, until just about the last sentence, that was, until we attributed the lack of an economic stimulus package to partisan political bickering. They ask, isn't partisan political bickering a pretty biased way of describing what goes on in Congress? Isn't it possible that genuine, substantive issues kept legislators from devising a workable economic stimulus package?
A few quick corrections now. More than one Bostonian pointed out to us that we added insult to injury in our story about the Boston Red Sox, the New York-based group that's buying it, and the history of the two cities' dealings. Macy's bought Jordan Marsh, not Filene's, as we incorrectly stated. Thanks to, among others, Sarah Wormiel of Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts, for that.
Interpol is not really an international police force, as we called it. It's an organization that helps police forces, but has no law enforcement authority of its own. Scott Ferris of Topeka reminded us of that, and he should know he is the state of Kansas liaison with Interpol.
Jean Pollard of Manteca, California, heard our story about play-by-play announcer Chick Hearn, and she points out that we wrongly called the Minneapolis Lakers the Minnesota Lakers. It means a lot to her because, as she writes, her father, Jim Pollard, played for the Lakers from 1947 to 1956, 8 seasons when they won 6 championships.
And several listeners wrote about Giancarlo Menotti's Christmas opera for children, Amahl and the Night Visitors, first presented live on television, Christmas Eve, 1951. Donna Haldeman was listening to the program when her 3 daughters heard the music and came into the kitchen.
She writes, "My eldest daughter said, I thought that was Amahl. We need to watch that movie tonight. The 2 younger girls agreed, and my 12-year-old commented that she doesn't like opera, but she likes Amahl. I smiled and remembered my Christmas Eves watching Amahl on TV with my family. I remember having a very emotional response at college when I was feeling very homesick, and a senior voice major sang the mezzo solo in Have You Seen a Child? I sat and wept in the middle of the seminar. Thank you, Mr. Menotti, for finding the music the rest of us can use to calm the soul and find the hope of the season at any age. Thank you, ATC, for reminding me of the slower times of the past and hope for the future."
When you send us your comments, please remember to include guidance on pronouncing your name and where you're writing from. The email address is atc@npr.org. The street address is Letters, All Things Considered, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20001.